Peace world, this is your brother Mikey Fever of NYP. We got our brother Divine Allah here with us today. And we're going to talk more about his political background, his political aspiration, and other things that he plans on doing or plan on bringing to the people of our community. Welcome, brother Divine Allah. Forgive me, man, a little tired, but you know, we here, bro. How you feeling, man?
I'm good. Another day, another way, brother. Another chance, another moment. Another reason. Another reason. Keep on pushing.
That's peace. That's peace. So, Brother Divine, if you don't mind, I know we spoke about that on the last show. Can you tell us more about your political background? What got you involved in the political arena out in your town?
All right. Well, first and foremost, I didn't have a political background per se.
Okay.
Young brother coming into knowledge of myself in the late 80s.
Yes.
And something that I picked up early on from studying the lessons, as we call them in the Nation of Gods and Earths, the 5% nation. Mm-hmm. I picked up something early on. Once you attain knowledge of self, the idea is to make self better, then to make family better, and then to make community better. It's something I picked up on. I just didn't stay self-centered with it. Early on, you go through those stages of wanting it to be about you only or what you know.
Yeah. But
after a while, your family begins to ask questions.
Exactly.
Your extended family, people in the community begin to take note of things going on. And I kind of fell right in to become a community activist with what I was learning. If I'm learning that the original people are indigenous people, the black man is the original man of the earth, and we know certain things are in our consciousness that we have to tap into. Once I started to learn things, I started to want to reactivate or recreate me, other me's. I didn't want to be looking at another brother as the N word or a sister as the B word. I wanted to recreate, to recycle divines throughout the community. So in a way, that was a political move.
You wanted to inspire.
Right. Yeah. To recreate me. I wanted to see more of me, which we should all be striving to be doing anyway.
Exactly.
So, and that does take politics to a degree. And later in the growth and development stages, I started seeing that people like me, people like yourself, people like those that I were inspired by, we needed those voices. We needed those faces. We needed those that energy in places that have political power on the surface. We need our faces in certain areas that we live.
Gotcha.
We can't just be little enclaves that we find ourselves in having small ciphers.
Exactly.
Dropping all this knowledge and information, and it's powerful. After a while, you start looking for an institution that can be developed through and out of. After a while, you start looking for, some brothers say, yo, I need a job. Some brothers and sisters say, yo, I need something more for my family so I can start sending my babies too, so they can learn, so they can be developed just like you may be developing, Divine, just like your family may be developing. And that wasn't in the city that I lived. So I started to say, oh, okay, that may be another lane
that's beautiful.
Grow out of.
That's
so
deep.
That's where the political backdrop began to give began to gain some traction. Started changing my circles.
Exactly.
Everything was just being around the God body all the time, or being around those who know. Sometimes you got to go and expand your conscious base around people who may not necessarily strive for things like you may strive for things, but they have an idealistic frame of reference that connects with what you have. And they're saying, oh, I support you. Brother, you should do this. Brother, you should try to get on this board. Brother, what you know is important that a young man like yourself, and that's how I became a youth delegate to the city of Trent. That's how I got to meet some presidents. So again, expanding my base, learning how to work different circles, what they call networking.
Exactly. I was in the
circle, dressed up in my little suit, rolling around with who became the first black mayor of Trenton, New Jersey. I was in and around those circles, a young brother with a developing consciousness.
That's beautiful. You got to do that.
Yes, sir.
You got it. Basically, you arose from the concrete, man, as Pac would beautifully put it, because, you know, it's yes, like sir. That. Because, you know, where we come from, and when I say we, those who come from inner city, growing up and everything else, and, you know, whatever your background may be, we always outcasted by, you know, the rest of the world, looked down upon because they assume based on your zip code, Eric or whatever, that you don't have any kind of knowledge, have anywhere, you know, knowledge of not navigating through the world. So with you finding knowledge yourself, partly made you a greater student at that. You started studying your life more. And as you said, you broadened your horizons, got around the right people, and it influenced you to want to change your environment with the knowledge that you have. So that's peace right there. I like to know, how were you, being that you also were, you know, I don't know if you are still a New Age Black, you know, Panther, how did both worlds mesh when you was taking that political step? Like, how did that work for you?
Well, you have to remember, brother, sometimes when you enter in some of these arenas and the folks that you're around who already have real political aspirations, I wasn't looking to be a career politician. Mm. I just understood that's another tool that needed to be added to my toolkit.
Mm. So
being in some of those circles, you can easily see the sellout. You can easily see those who were easily led, easily drawn to the carrot dangling.
Yeah, I wasn't.
So, and again, I was around them from the top to the bottom, everywhere in the middle. I was around them all. A lot of these folks here in the Northeast area who eventually became senators, mayors, city council people. I was the young brother around to the event that actually they brought me around because they thought this was the person they were grooming. But they never could quite gather. Okay, your name is Divine Allah. Yeah. I was, my consciousness was different than you folks. I wasn't aspiring to be that, to have the smiley face on and eventually put on the stiff suit and a handkerchief. That's their world. But I understood what they were doing.
Exactly.
So when I look at it, they are where they are and I am where I am. So a lot of what we began to do, brother, we began to run almost a parallel politically, socially conscious movement. This is prior to the New Black Panther Party. New Black Panther Party for me didn't come to 1998. I'm giving you something from 89, 90, all the way to and through past the first Million Man March 1995. Damn. Remember, Minister Louis Farrakhan said he gave the charge to all the brothers that were there October 16, 1995. He said, "Black man, if you're not part of an organization, you go back to your community, you join one, or you start one." Once I heard that, and I already knew there were certain brothers who, again, were on it, but didn't necessarily want to be in the political arena, we started a group called the YDC, Youth Development Council. But that was more what we call a sanitized name, Youth Development Council, because I was already the youth delegate working with the mayor and his staff here. Yes. So but behind that, we had something that we were creating called Chaos, K-O-S, Knowledge of Self.
Oh, now, that's dope, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's dope to you and I.
Yeah, but to them,
So, again, understanding back then, okay, it's chess.
Yeah.
People use that phrase of, "Oh, we not playing checkers, we playing chess." I was understanding that as a young, conscious brother.
Made you dangerous.
So, started doing some major, major thing in the Trenton community. I'm talking about it's a challenge for me to look at a lot of the stuff that's being talked about now, a lot of the groups that are out here now. Brother, in essence, we gave birth to a lot of the stuff that we see out here now, the programs that are being had, the hosted, the we created something called the Stop the Violence Block Party Tour, where we would go to every block where it was popping at, just set up and have a block party, have all the brothers out there. This is before the gang culture came to Trenton, but because I was caught up into that as a young man, North Trenton, where I was from, we were always meeting with the brothers from East Trenton. So because I was caught up into it, we said, we got to create something that we can get these young people's minds off of wanting to hurt each other. And this is before brothers stacking, you know, that steel holding the heat. You know, it was just regular street fighting, put the dukes up. But created the Youth Development Council out of chaos. And the whole thing was around giving youth an outlet, whether it's learning how to work on computers, because my background is media development, graphic design, visual communications. That's part of my background.
That's dope.
So we were bringing brothers to a community center where an elder would let us come and volunteer. We didn't know about grants, none of that stuff. We had an idea of what it was about, but the elder saw some of the stuff we were doing just around some of the young brothers on the block that this community center was at. And she was like, yeah, you brothers out here all the time. You know, y'all can come here and talk to some of the young brothers inside of this community center. Because they every time they come, they cause problems. Her name was Miss Virginia Yule, an elder. And she gave us our first open run with the young people, man. And to this day, brother, I'm talking about 20 years later, 25 years later, some of the young brothers who were touched from that still, oh, Mr. D, man, stop the violence, brother, stop the violence. Man, it was amazing. It was amazing. So that was the snowball that was developing at the time that blossomed into the revolutionary consciousness that was soon take hold of Divine Allah. Because all of that was making community work, political work, just activism work. Not until some national events began to take place, serious national events. The young brothers, I don't know if you remember the story, the young brothers who were shot, they were traveling from basketball camp or to basketball camp on the New Jersey Turnpike. That it was a large story with the state police. Then you had a local situation where a young sister was murdered. A young brother had stole a vehicle. The police shot the car up. And that gained some national attention. Al Sharpton and all those folks came, converged on the Trenton. And because it happened in New Jersey, this is the state capital. Again, my face is still like, you got to have our youth go to. We need him to come speak, because they didn't really have nobody. Now, here I am developing some revolutionary consciousness that they weren't really privy to yet. All they knew was, yo, bring Divine. We need some youth to speak. We need a young person to speak. And here I come after I'm hearing some of those Minister Farrakhan speeches. I'm hearing some of the Dr. Naeem Akbar speeches.
Yeah, you got amped up.
Dr. Khalid. So now I'm coming with some fire now.
Yeah, fire now.
In their faces, they was like, uh-oh, what's going on here? Well, something happened. And we thought he was just our smiley face, little light-skinned, green-eyed kid that we can parade around and show that we got young people that we developing to be a politician. They really thought that, brother. But that revolutionary thing got hold of my consciousness. And here we are, New Black Panther Party, you know, along with some other things that took place around that time. But that was the beginning stages of what you see now.
And I have a question for you.
Connect all the dots.
I have a question. When you was running around with the at the time of the political thing, what political party was that? Democrat, Republican at the time?
In this area, it was heavy Democrat. So, and that mayor at the time, most of his staff was Democrat. Yes, and I didn't even think about that or know
at the time. Of course.
Of how that played. All I knew was these are people who I believed in that were want to make something happen, because I always look at from a generational perspective. That's how we're supposed to look at it. So you're talking about a mayor who was a mayor of a town like Trenton, mostly Black, Latino. He was in there for 20 years. That's a generation. So from my teens to 40, that's 20 years he was in there. So here we are now. I'm old enough, a bit more wiser and a bit more understanding of how that world is. I don't want to say game. A bit more understanding of how that arena works, the mechanics. I can understand how and why our people get caught up in it.
Exactly.
And really don't turn around and want to raise up a more idealistic, revolutionary-minded youth. They don't want to have that. They want to have those that they can control the influence of. And you can see it around mostly every major city where we're at. You don't see a lot of young people being raised up and held up to take the mantle from a more culturally conscious, revolutionary, politically conscious that really speaks to the needs of the people or of the bosom that they come from.
Exactly.
We speak of everybody now. That's not how I learned it, but I understand in that arena how that is to be played. But I didn't work too well with that type of thing, man. So we started doing a lot of what we needed to do on our own.
All right. And as far as, like, as you say, you was doing your political thing before it led to the Black Panther, New Age Black Panthers, your involvement. Through your growth, your exposure, and what you were learning, your context, did you experience any resistance from the community? Like saying, I don't know if I'm going to go down this route with you, or, yo, I don't, you know. Like, did they look at you as like, you know, some of our people, and I say this with love, when they don't see outside of the box, they think that when you're making moves like that, yo, you selling out, bro. Or you trying to be this and that. Like, they didn't, like, did you experience any of that?
No, I got it from the other direction. Now, people already knew Divine sellout wasn't even in the area when I came down, because people already knew I started young enough to put my heart out there, put my soul out there, put my life out there. So people understood Divine, that's a real brother right there. Divine is really about that life. Once the new Black Panther element came, people was like, oh, I knew it. This is what you should have been doing in the first place. It wasn't resistance from that end. But then you're on the flip side, though. You had, because again, Trenton is a small silo of, even though the Democratic Party is big, but Trenton itself is a small silo of individuals who have gained influence in the political arena. They gain influence in the educational arena. They gain influence even in the sports and entertainment arena. So when you know when you get into those worlds, you can't really have friends. It's almost like back in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, on a larger scale, Minister Farrakhan's name would be the litmus test. Well, Mayor such and such, do you believe in Minister Farrakhan? And they would be flipping and tripping on their words in interviews.
Exactly.
So, you know, that began to happen, brother, with me as a young man, and I began to take note of it. These people are being asked about Divine Allah and my particular way of doing what I do in a community like this when it was needed to be done. And some of these folks, or a lot of them, eventually backed off and backed away from Divine. They still would see me, give me the salute, but they won't stop. They won't take pictures. They'll basically disassociate themselves. I saw that early on, brother.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah. So to me, it happened in the opposite way. Not saying people were saying about becoming a politician or whatever. They looked forward to me being that, but they didn't look forward to me having that revolutionary consciousness, what we call speaking real truth to power, speaking unfiltered, uncompromising, unapologetic. We were doing this stuff in the late 80s, early 90s, all through the 90s. That was what myself and a few other brothers were doing. And people saw early on, those are the serious problems. So we know not to invite them, or we know when to invite them. A lot of that was happening early on. So I got a chance to see that early on, brother.
So
and even to this day, the same thing still plays out.
So with all this information that you have, like, you know what I'm saying, I could tell, you know, from seeing you got natural leadership skills, you're knowledgeable. What can be done to steer our people to be more politically conscious, not to vote with emotions, but to vote with intelligence and to understand how the system works? Like, what would you prescribe for that?
For sure, it's political education.
Exactly.
The only thing is, you have to have solid institutions that are not all over the place. What do I mean all over the place by not all over the place? The institution has to be rock solid in its foundation. You can't be meeting, you can't be going from church to church basement. You can't be having your meeting on the third floor of somebody's apartment 1 month. Can't be, all of that's good. It develops a base, but it doesn't solidify your base. So when you're trying to politically educate and move our people with the movement in some real organization, it's going to take a side, which is why most churches, to a degree, have the type of following and things that they have, because we know the church is not moving. The church has been there 50 years, whether they tell them lies or not, whether they feeding the people a bunch of foolishness or not. The church is a solid base. Most true organizations that have not sold out, that have not bucked, most of those organizations usually would have a meeting place for a few months. Then they got it. They'll lose that spot because whoever the owner of that building may hear, you know, they're in there talking about the police. You know, they're in there talking about that revolutionary stuff. You know, they're in there talking about that black conscious stuff. So now you're back to just having meetings only when it get warm again, because you can meet out on the street.
Yeah, so exactly.
So political education is definitely first, but you have to have it so where people can be there, see it, feel it, touch it, break bread there, see who the people are.
Exactly. Hold on. You're breaking up a second, brother. Your connection.
Okay.
Yeah, now you're good now. Can you hear me? The connection froze up.
Yeah, that's you going in and out now.
That's me. Yeah. Now I'm good now. Yeah, I'm okay. Good.
We good?
Connected. Yeah, I don't know what it was going on. It's like you're pixelating.
Yes, just for a minute.
Yeah, we're good now. So, yeah. So, what I was saying is that... can you read that?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. So, it's basically just political education developed over a period of time where people are getting some solid information that can be utilized for themselves, their families, and they see a true connection to the community from what they're being taught. A lot of times there's a disconnect because people become a part of things and they don't connect their personal dots to it. They still have to work. They still have relationships and things of that nature.
Exactly.
But there's not a circle drawn in how they approach joining the organization or joining the movement. So that's one of the first things I would say, brother, is having a real solid base to politically educate the people who want to become part of a movement.
That's a fact. Because you know why I say that is because throughout the years, we see our people go in the streets, like whenever like a situation takes place with a police shooting, and it's like somehow, so it's always conveniently near the time of election where these things will happen. And, you know, our people, like, you know, they'll see these political figures, these candidates that go into a black church and they'll go to the community and, you know, say they'll pander, kente cloth on the shoulder. They'll go to the black church. They will eat some, you know what I'm saying, do the most thing that they assume it to be black, sing some gospel music, play domino, eat some chicken, whatever they think that we do. Because in their mind, they think that we just monolithic in our characteristics. So they would do that and people would be like, well, you know, I'm gonna vote for this person because he did something that I deem to be black. Like, you know, he played a saxophone.
Right.
Oh, he likes hip hop. So I'm gonna vote for him. He seems cool.
Right.
Like how can we steer our people away from that idea of getting involved in politics, like that thought process, that pattern?
Along with political education, we need a strong media.
Yeah.
A media that can not so much respond, but be proactive with a source of continuous information that's constantly on the hearts and minds of the people. That's why the Nation of Islam do what they do. That's why the original Black Panther Party was able to do what they did, because they had source of media along with all their personalized political education. They also had a platform that spoke to the needs of the people they were going to eventually serve, the community. So again, it's back to connecting the dots. But it's a challenge when you have a mechanism to recruit with a person. You can recruit when people are out there on the block. They see hundreds of people on the corner. They got signs up. That's one mechanism. It's an attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Challenge is when you start bringing people in, and now you start getting people who you know don't necessarily have basic education. People who don't necessarily have financial help. Exactly. They just want to be a part of something. So you don't turn those people away, but you have to create things that keep them totally engaged while working to get them financially on point, while working to get them educationally on point. But that's a challenge when, again, the base is not there. Churches have it because they have a community room in the church. They have a study, that Bible study on Wednesday, where they know the door ain't going to be locked. The people ain't going to shut the lights off. We ran into that as Black Panther. So, and we ran into that even with the youth group. We were under, I think it was the Urban League at the time. The Urban League is a very well-known institution. It's like the Boys and Girls Club. They're in a lot of these inner cities. But the people who they have in the major positions are people who are either Masonic fraternal order brothers. They are people on high levels of city government, and they're put in places of influence in these communities. And they're the figureheads at these institutions where they know they're going to get a lot of young people, because it's promoted as come here and learn computers, or come here and play basketball after school, come here and eat a whole lot of candy. But when we began to show up there and want to host meetings there, community meetings, and you may get one of the higher ups who may happen to be there that day, and they're looking like, yo, why are these people here talking about Ujima, Kwanzaa? Why are them young people over there putting their fists up talking about Uhuru and Black? They take note of that, and then they go back and have their meetings and say, you know what? That's not going to meld too well
with
our sponsors. Our corporate sponsors. So we get wind that, Divine, they're going to be fixing the building. Y'all might have to, y'all can't meet for another 3 weeks, and then end up being, brother.
So you've been there. So you faced it. You've been in that crazy arena.
Seen it, brother.
So we said that with political education, and I'm glad that you said that it's the basic essentials that people do need, because a candidate, as you said, or organization will come and they will exploit and play on the people's needs. Like, all right, I know that they suffer for food, so look what we're giving you. We're giving you cans of food because you're in dire need, and they will see you guys do the same thing, but they'll be like, all right, but they're taking a little longer, but they also feeding your mind. But at the moment, they're like, oh, but look what I got. Like, they gave me a $50 coupon. Our people are easily fooled with trinkets.
Let me go in direction. Yes, sir.
Yeah, yes, so sir. I understand where you're coming from.
Yes, sir.
So the thing is that, you know, with all due respect, shout out to what you did. That's peace. Like, your history and everything else is peace. It's beautiful. Ron broke it down to me. And, you know, salute to you guys for being out there on the front line. You know, you get what I'm saying? I wish I knew more to provide more, if I could provide, because I always feel like organizations like new age Black Panthers and other grassroots are not supported as much as they were back then. Because
that's right.
We had more in the unity and our people were striving to be educated.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Education was important. Now it's just, we live in a society where everything is just instant gratification. People just trying to get to that bag fast. You know what I'm saying? Wow. By any cost, whether if they have to sell their soul, compromise their integrity, they looking at it like, I need that bag now. You understand that they don't stand on principles. And our people have been too spooky. We've been spookified to be afraid of everything. So don't even get me started, but I understand where you're coming from. I just wonder, how can we, what can we do today to bring back the presence and the power that the Black Panthers brought back then? How can we bring that movement back, the energy, like when they first came on the scene?
Well, you know the science, beloved. Energy mm-hmm. is neither created nor destroyed.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. It just transformed. So yeah. It's never, I don't want to say never, but we know it's not going to look like it did in the 60s. It's not going to look like it did in the mid to late 80s. How, you know, the Nation of Islam used to be strong.
Yeah.
Come up on the block with them bow ties. We straightened up. You used to see more than 10 or 15 of them at a time.
Yeah.
It's not going to look like that anymore. So now, wherever we are, Dr. Khalid Muhammad always told us, whatever you do and wherever you are, you be a revolutionary right there where you are. If you are a janitor in a school and you have this revolutionary consciousness, every time them young boys walk by calling each other B-word or the N-word or whatever, you snap them to attention. That's you dropping. That's you planting your seed where you are. If you work for the state of New Jersey, if you work for the city, if you work in a youth group, you become that revolutionary go-to right where you are. And then, like we talked about before, you work to get with those like minds so you could create those cells.
Mm-hmm.
So you now we have a cell here in Trenton, New Jersey. We have a cell in Newark, New Jersey. Out of the New Black Panther Party, we gave birth to the Newark Anti-Violence Coalition.
Beautiful.
Which eventually turned around and gave birth to the Trenton Anti-Violence Coalition. So the issues will always be here as long as we need these ghettos of America.
The seeds are there.
It's always going to be right there in front of us. So we just have to figure out again, okay, Brother Ron, Brother Mike, Brother Divine, Sister Keisha, Sister Brother such and such, Brother, we need you to run for mayor. Brother, we need you to be the mayor's third go-to person for the youth development programs that's coming out of that city. Brother, we need you to be a, go join that church. Go become the deacon. Go get on the deacon board. So we know we got, again, our pieces in different places. So that's like how you really create a move. It's not necessarily one big movement, because what happens is, as much as I may want it to be and you may want it to be, and I know Brother Sharif Bey may want it to be, I had to clear my mind of wanting people to just join New Black Panther Party or be Nation of Gods and Earth members, or my brother, the Nation of Islam, always. They want people to become, we want people to get suited and booted and want people to get their hands. Okay, you may want them to be there if they have that personal aspiration to want to do that piece. You coach them, but everybody doesn't want to join your particular set, but they can still be a part of the movement. And I think sometimes we jump the gun trying to get everybody to be what we are. That's the only downside, brother, when you're so gung-ho with a lot of your personal knowledge and information. And I mean, I got stacks of books and information, DVDs, VHS. I'll be wanting everybody to get it like I got it. But I got to understand, everybody comes from different journeys. Some brothers that joined the party or joined the movement, they come from being divorced. Some brothers may come from straight from jail. Some sisters may come from working in the corporate world. Some people, it's all different journeys, but understand, are they still needed as soldiers on the field? That's why we say every man on deck, every soldier in the field. Because we up against an enemy that has a system within a system within a system within a system within a system that never stops. See, we look for vacation with the movement. We look to take off. I'll see y'all in a few weeks. I'm about to go. Nah, brother, this thing has to stay fully functioning over a span of time so we can see the benefit of it to be passed down to the next generation. But it hasn't gotten far with us because of so many breaks in how it's developed. It's way too many breaks. And we don't want to be people to be religious per se, though it's needed. Some people need that organizational structure like the Nation of Islam. Some people need that militant structure like the New Black Panther Party. But we have to understand the psyche of our people. Everyone is not ready for that. They're not ready for that.
No. As Khalid said, you know, we love the soldiers in the bow ties, but something like this also soldiers with the semis.
Exactly.
Which is
exactly.
True, because, you know, not to go off topic, but I always put it out there years ago from studying Khaled and, you know, the old Panthers and, you know, his philosophy and the new ones. The soldiers are already out there. Like we said, right. the gangs, they just irregulated force. Like they don't have organization, but they're there. Like, yes, you know, they may not have the information, but I best believe if something goes down, they probably be the first ones to set it off if they have
that's
to.
Right. That's right.
As you mentioned, you know, a lot of people will get the information in life where they, depending on where they at in their life. And I like how you put that, you know, some brothers could be coming from jail and this and that, sisters X, Y, and Z. So we're not going to see it the way, as you put it, the way the 60s were or the early 80s. It's going to be all new, you know what I'm saying, as we're doing online right now. And you, and as you said, it's up to the elders, us as well, to constantly drop those seeds on the youth. Because, you know, a lot of things I used to hear from, like, in my growing up in my neighborhood, we had, like, Nation of Gods, people from the Caribbean, and I used to see the Muslim Brothers.
Yeah.
And, like two Panthers I used to see. And although I was young, I still remember what they said to me. It still plays in. So I'm like, I see what you were saying when you said about even if you're a good janitor or whatever, you see a kid, you drop that on them. They may not listen to it now, but when they walk away, it's going to come back. They're going to have an epiphany. Like, you know what? This person did tell me this before. You know? And you said it with the whole media thing. Seeing the documentaries back then, seeing the brothers in the street with the books and the pamphlets, I was always curious to, like, yo, I got to read this, see what they're talking about. And, you know, you know, being a fan of Tupac and all that, understanding of his background and being Khalid Muhammad, I used to be like, damn, yo, Khalid, like, you guys are, I'm not going to lie, I envy you brothers, man. I got to walk with Khalid, bro. I seen him from afar at the Million Youth March in, like, 98. Yes. But you guys got to walk with the guy. I'm like, this is crazy, man. Like, how was he, man? How was he as an individual, man? Like,
I have fond memories of Dr. Khalid from each perspective, almost as a son to a father, brother to a brother.
Yeah.
And being in the field. I'm talking about in the field, in battle. Not just on the field dressed up in our BDUs. I'm talking about in battle, confronting things, not just addressing them, not just dealing with them, but really confronting. I had that privilege to be there when it was going down. He would give us on the spot military science, military defense, man, on the spot. I remember two things. We were at, he stood all of us up, about 40, 50 of us, and just had one of the brothers, it was an event with the Nation of Islam they were having up there in Brooklyn. And this is, you know, Dr. Khalid comes from the Nation, so he knew what the brother was doing up there on the talking. And the brother started talking about, we can't beat the enemy with guns. Now, we sitting in there, you see Panthers in there. So really, you're just trying to take a hit at Dr. Khalid because he's rolling with the Panthers. Dr. Khalid stood all of us up during the brother's lecture, walked us outside and started teaching on what he just took note of. And he said something that we never should do, even though he had just did it. He made a point to say, never get up and never be disrespectful and walk out of an event like that. But because he knew who it was and the reason they were doing it. And he just wanted us to get a quick, what do you call it, a crisp, swift, and sharp idea of something right in the moment. He took us outside and just gave us the lesson on it. Another situation, a major confrontation with local police, county police, national police, all at the same time. We in it, in the thick of it. He posted up on the side of the holster. Don't stand on the side. I'm talking about right in the thick of it. They got 50, we got 20. Post up on the side with the whole, I'm talking about right with brother, seeing this stuff happen and him being able to articulate it the way it was supposed to be articulated with no casualties. That's the other thing. to able to come back home and have our debriefing about it, man. And that's just not even tip of the iceberg stuff. I'm talking about stuff when it comes to family. He was there when my son was born. He was there picking him up from the airport. I saw some of the things that he had, like they say, Dr. Colleen, Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
He did a play with Malcolm X where they say he was scared of heights, even though he talked about going to the mountaintop. I remember a time we was coming through the tunnel, going to New York, and Dr. Khalid in my back seat, like, why are we driving through the tunnel? Why we ain't take the bridge? You know, brother, you know many things can happen in this tunnel. So I'm like, brother, we're scared to ride through the tunnel. You know, we would have those laughing moments, and then you get into me thinking that he was so disciplined when it comes to the eating habits and stuff like that, man. Mm-hmm. We used to laugh and joke about. I was really heavy into the, now is really popular, being vegan and all that stuff. But back then I was on it. And he would be like, brother, we can't fight this enemy with no broccoli sticks. Man, I mean, brother, I saw it all, man. I saw it from every angle. And at the end of the day, I understood that, you know, our warriors are walking around with real scars, real battle scars, not the scars from being in battle per se, but the scars
psychologically, that come
psychologically, and the scars that come from really wanting to serve our people. He really believed in serving our people. One more point, brother. Mm-hmm. If he would call, he was living in Atlanta at the time. I was still in Jersey. This is when we had more home phones, right? Brother, he would call. I don't know how he would do it. He would be looking at what the weather was or something up here. He's in Atlanta, maybe 90. I'm up in Jersey with maybe 85. So I'm always, you know, I'm used to peace, God. Peace. Who's calling?
Yeah.
I'm like, peace. On the other end, he would be like, war. Brother, don't you know we at war? You're not out recruiting today. I know it's 82 degrees up there.
Cali was on it. Yeah.
Brother, he would just always be ready to snap us to attention. Brother, he's not the police. He's your enemy.
Yeah.
We would be saying things like, yeah, police officer. No, brother, that's the pig. No, brother, that's the enemy of the state. We got to start putting that on our people's minds. Let them know that these are police are the true terrorists in our community. Not the black man who's out there on the corner terrorizing the community. Those are the true terror. He would always snap us to attention so we could be in that corrective mode. So when we reach our people, we let them see and feel that this is true while we at war. You have to understand this war is not going on. We are actually in it, man. We're actually in it, young brother. So the language always had to be upgraded when we attempted to resurrect our people, man. And he was always about that. Always, man.
So he was deep. He was big. He understood the power of the word. And
how Yes, sir.
Proper oration. What were his views on politics, and how did he feel about your past, like, you know, getting involved in politics and stuff like that? What was his take on that?
Actually, brother, he had already became an ancestor. He became an ancestor in 2001.
Oh, yeah.
But now, I didn't have the campaign for a local council until 2010. Mm. But that's a good question. Dr. Khalid had this way. If he visited your city, even if he's just passing through, somehow he knew. Where's Brother Divine at? I mean, and this is before we really linked and connected. Before I became the New Jersey representative for the New Black Panther Party, if he would come through Trenton, just say downtown, and he ran into you, somehow he knew. He'll know to ask you, brother, you know a brother named Divine Allah? You know a brother named Ron? And if you say, yeah, he'll say, take me. You know where he hang out at? He was like that.
Wow.
Brother, do you know Raz Baraka? Let's go to Newark. We're going to spend a few moments in Trent. Let's drive up to Newark, brother. Brother, do you know Samir Shabazz? Brother, do you know? Somehow he just knew. And then as time went on, he began to tell us, there's no way you a revolutionary And you don't know other revolutionary cells in these cities that you go on eventually visit, brother. You might not have no other revolutionary family members.
That's a fact.
Have no other revolutionary close friends. Find out who the other cells are that exist, maybe close to you or maybe far, and go link with them and figure out how y'all can make things happen. Because once the revolutionary drum roll is given, you may have to move all the way out and get 50 miles away from your city. And he was on, brother, he was on it like that. Every city we visited, New Orleans, Texas, everywhere. I want to go meet Brother Hashim. Take me to where Brother Hashim is at. I heard about this brother who's been doing all this revolutionary work on the political arena. Take me to him. Oh, that's the mayor. Take me to visit him. Where does he live at? Take me to that revolutionary pastor that lived down here in Trenton. I'm talking about going to knock on a door, pulling up, going to knock. He just... Oh,
I can see that. Like, I can tell, like, he had that fire in him. Like, when I see his interviews, I'm like, this guy's relentless. And what's so beautiful about it, he's very knowledgeable, sharp.
Yes, sir.
And he could tell, like, it's like people don't understand. He's not like, I don't think he's people that's tried to pick him as being hateful. I don't think he was hateful. I think he was just speaking from a place of love and just frustration. Sir. Like, you probably feel that way. Like, yo, when y'all going to wake up and see what's going on? Like, wake up already. That's how you like. Because I believe with economics and now and the knowledge of self and political education that our people could come out with our own political party.
No doubt. But I
think is that what got us by the grips is the whole economic thing. And, you know, our people being duped to vote, you know, Democrat, not saying Republican will also bring change, because you know that's the narrative being pushed now. If you go with a Republican, you know, it could bring changes. To me, I look at it as the left wing, the right wing, the same bird. It's the same game. My thing is watching the people's actions, looking at their track record, and knowing that economically you could make things shake. You could, because you got to remember these people work for you. You understand is holding them accountable. And, you know, because I'm not gonna get too much on it on this podcast, but you know, certain groups got more rights than the average black man walking around here.
No doubt.
And you question, like, how did that happen? Like, what did they do to get their agenda pushed? You know, and why do we always gotta be at the bottom of the totem pole?
Because we don't understand power, beloved.
Yeah.
You know, this is why, again, the original Black Panther Party talked about black power. Our people, one, now we understand the context. My brothers from the Moorish science family, our brothers from the Nation of Gods and Earth, from brothers from the Nation of Islam family. But again, you got to remember what happened to our people with conditioning process.
Exactly.
When you talk about power and you attach the word black to it, it's almost like how we talk about black ice as being dangerous. We don't want any association with something that we think is going to harm the way we think. We think our families are not going to want to deal with us. We're not going to have relationships. We're not going to have good friends, all that type of stuff, man. So our people want power and influence and success with economics, but we don't want culture and true blackness. Dr. Khalid taught us that also. Black is culture and consciousness. It's not just the one context that we use a lot and we fight over. It's also color, culture, and consciousness, and a corresponding cosmic connection that we all have in our DNA. But when your DNA is messed up because of what you're eating and what you're thinking all the time because of savage stuff that goes on in the media, anytime we hear the word black associated with black power and politics, the default setting is that's too radical for me. And people back away from it, whether they got money or not. So this is why I understand what you're saying when you say the economic piece. We have the economics. It's just that we're so brainwashed. Yeah. We're so... oh man, messed up when it comes to having a cultural grounding that we don't understand how much power we really do have with economics if we were mentally on point to use it in the right place. Because we'll take our money, and put it behind somebody who we know is not going to do nothing for us. Like you said earlier, we know they're going to come and take a selfie with us. We know they're going to show up at our daughter's birthday party and dance and do all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. But we know they're not going to come back and do nothing else for it. They're not going to speak out against the police. But you're scared to put your money behind someone. And yes, you're scared. You're scared to put your money behind someone and your vote behind someone who you know is going to speak out against your white friend. And not necessarily your white friend, but when you think about it, in their view of it, Divine, you talking about my close white friend that I work with, that I have lunch with every day. They don't understand that you're not necessarily talking about their close friend at work. You're talking about a construct. You're talking about a system. That's but because we're not doing really, we're not really doing any studying and trying to gauge where is Divine coming from with this Black Power talk. They're only gauging it from the perspective of how they've been fed it through the media, through movies. Don't associate with that revolutionary. Don't associate with that radical talk. So our people back off of it. And these are people with money and these are people without money. So it stands, brother. It really stands. We need all the dots connected. Those who are in the educational field, brothers and sisters who are teachers, who know the deal, but they make a conscious decision to go that way because it's comfortable. It's comfortable to have a state job for 30 years and with your pension. It's comfortable to have a job working at the local school where you know you're going to get some rewards and all that type of stuff. That's comfortable. Mm-hmm. So it's okay to know Divine. It's okay to know people that are Black Panthers, but it's not okay to associate with them and let people know that this is the person that you're backing politically. That's not the cool thing, especially in a city like Trent.
You know where that comes from? That comes from what we see in the past. Like, you know, you say Black Power.
Yes, sir.
The narrative is painted angry Black men and women with guns and afros, right? Somebody's that is hateful towards Europeans, towards white people. Yes, sir. Let's assume with that. What else? As the narrative is put out there, or they are gonna complain, they're never unhappy, so some kind of affirmative action. They just want to pump their blackness and be angry. And I beg to differ. To me, that's a lower aspect of what you see. Because I always tell people you gotta delve in deep intelligently and don't look at the reaction. Look at the cause of why such and such is doing this.
Go ahead.
You understand? Because, you know, the U.S. does it and, you know, we got to be patriotic about it, right? But you got to look at it like these people are speaking from a perspective. They're speaking from a position of being hurt. Some haven't find any solace, no peace. They haven't healed from that. It still perpetuates. Right. And that's why, as you said, it's important for us to have that chaos, knowledge of self, that K, as you put it. Not the word chaos, but knowledge of self, as you put it, with your organization, that will help uplift that person.
Right.
And that's why I believe what Khaled, not believe, I know that's what Khaled was doing because I seen the impact.
He made a point to bring it too.
Yeah.
He made a point. A lot of people don't know, and I know they won't do the research on it. When the original Black Panther Party came about, brother, they had a 10-point program and platform that they snippeted right out of the Nation of Islam's 10-point program that they used to have on the rear page. Yeah. So the original Black Panther Party understood, let's take a piece of that. Mm-hmm. Dr. Khalid said, okay, here we are in the mid to late 90s. There was a cultural movement that took place with the music that was going on early 90s. You had the music. You had the hip hop groups that promoted a bit of culture, gaining knowledge yourself. You had the college Black college movements and all of that. You had some strong Black student unions that used to invite us to speak, that it used to invite Minister Farrakhan, Dr. Khalid. But what happened, things began to shift. And people who are in college now already know, you better not invite this person. They get it written, but you can't invite this person. So what he attempted to do with the new Black Panther Party platform is infuse it with African consciousness. African-centered consciousness.
I've seen that, yeah.
We didn't just talk about police brutality per se. We also put in there reparations. We also put in there the meaning behind why we need to change some of the dynamics in our community, because what happened to us was not just a Holocaust, as we call it. We call it the Ma'afa. But behind Ma'afa, he had the word Ma'angamizo. Ma'afa, we know, means a Holocaust. It means catastrophe, a disaster. But he said, no, you drive the point. It's called a Ma'angamizo, meaning it was planned. It was willful. It was a direct attack. So he began to teach like that when he came to certain cities where we had chapters at. But guess what you run into? Because a lot of the members, just like in a lot of different sets, unless you're in the Nation of Islam, where everybody basically has the same thing from the bottom to the top, where they get their X or Muhammad behind their name. A lot of the chapters, you have brothers who weren't in the church. They weren't into no organization. They were just brothers who were into packing, knew how to shoot, into living off the land. And now you're introducing African-centered consciousness. Now you're introducing all this cultural talk. In their world, it was like, yeah, that's important for different settings. Yo, man, brother, I'm talking about, and it's the same thing. Like nowadays, you get people who want the basics. They don't want to be all high scientific, not understanding that they should. Now, we're not trying to pour it down their throat, but at the same time, sis, bro, we're moving like this because this is what knowledge itself does to you and for you as an individual. You can't just be a part of the organization and think you're not supposed to grow and develop in almost in a sequence. You can't just pop up and say, I want to start at letter K. Nah, bro, you got to start at letter A. Now, you strong at letter K. We know you strong, but we also notice what's missing.
Yeah, the basis.
Snap to attention. And a lot of us don't want to deal with that part, brother. So it's always a challenge, which is why, again, the Nation of Islam has that on lock, because they have what? MGT, Muslim Girl Training. They have FOI. Islam, and they have those lessons that they go through on their Wednesdays and Fridays study groups. And once we began to institute some of that, you would get a lot of members who began to fall back, because when you're recruiting almost anybody, that's the word. You're recruiting them to become members of a party, not necessarily members of a movement per se, members of an organization that has structure. But you're recruiting them knowing that they came from a situation where they wasn't reading no books. They wasn't studying like the original Panthers were 4 or 5 hours a day. Exactly. We didn't necessarily make it mandatory to come to political education, especially if we knew you had to work. We live in a time now where you're talking about finances, economics, people have to work. Some brothers was working two jobs. Brothers had newborn babies. Exactly. So we have to understand how to balance how we approach our people, trying to get them to be a part of the movements or organizations. If I know a brother is working on getting married, he's working two jobs, he's taking care of a family, I'm not the type of person that would be in leadership that would bog that brother down saying, why you ain't at the event today? But we would get a lot of that. Brother, why you ain't on post with us today? The minister in town. The brother got a family. He just had a newborn baby.
Yeah,
because we don't have no institutions. We don't have no rock solid foundation where we can, if he shouldn't have to go to work nowhere, but because he does, his baby shouldn't have to go to school nowhere else. But because they do, we have to learn how to deal and work with that as an organization. Nation of Islam has the Nation of Islam School. The Black Panthers had Liberation School. Most organizations these days that start grassroots, we don't have the rock solid institution that can say to the sister who maybe works, but she has children, we got your children all day and they're being educated. So when you come home, you got time, sis, you can rest. Now you're being educated. We don't got those outlets for the people who really want to be a part of the movement, bro. We just don't have it, to be honest with you. And I don't like fronting like we do. And if we do get them, it's going to take time to build, like Dr. Umar is going through it right now. Our people are so hard on the brother, not knowing what it takes to really develop something like that for us, not just something as a school. They, oh, well, LeBron did it. Well, LeBron started with 100 million. So, you know, to throw that type of stuff out there on our people who's really fighting on the front lines for our people, you may not have to agree with his personal stuff, but we know that brother is a warrior on the front line for our people. And he's attempting to get something in place, to put something in place. So we ain't got to keep worrying about going to these public schools mad because they treating our babies the way they treat.
That's peace. So
why are you fighting with him? Why you? Come on, give him a dollar. Give him $5. Or if you got skills, be looking forward to go help them when it's time to get some teachers down there, get some administration set in place. I'm looking forward to it, brother. But again, it's stuff that we don't have. So we beat up on it when we attempt to bring it to our people's face, man.